In the mid-2000s, I was in college in central Kentucky, right in the heart of the Bible Belt. And it was around the year 2004 that there was a news article that hit the papers about some teenagers who were at a Christian camp just outside of Louisville. That's how you say it correctly, Louisville, for all you non-Kentuckians out there. And at this Christian camp, these teenagers were doing a Bible study, and they were studying false idols. And after their study, they were filled with zeal and marched over to a yard of a Catholic neighbor and smashed a statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Of course, this was very embarrassing for the Protestant church, this mega church, who was hosting the Bible study. And so, of course, they came out and spoke directly, saying this was an error of judgment. It sparked a conversation about religious tolerance in the church that the youth group was participating in. And they apologized, as they should. But it sparked a question for me at that time. Why are so many Christians and even Catholics afraid of Mary? There can be a fear of Mary. Where does she fit in with the gospel? Where does she fit in with our faith? Some might accuse us as Catholics of being idol worshipers. And so there's a fear sometimes in how we approach the Mother of God, Mary. I grew up at St. Mary's Parish, and I went through Catholic school K through 12 at Notre Dame, the school associated with my parish. So Mary's been a part of my life from the beginning, but I still get nervous sometimes when I see friends, especially other Christian friends who aren't Catholic, squirm at the mention of Mary. I get nervous too. After so many challenging conversations about her, I've been tempted to be quiet sometimes, just to not bring her up as a way to just kind of keep the peace and not stir the pot, shying away from her in fear of starting some debate or some kind of difficult conversation. I've been afraid in the past. In today's gospel, we hear about Joseph and his fear. I feel like his fear matches ours sometimes. His fear about taking Mary into his home. We don't know exactly why he was afraid. There are a couple theories out there. The dominant modern theory about why Joseph was afraid to take Mary is that he thought she had been unfaithful to him. And so out of fear of scandal that she was unfaithful, he thought he'd divorce her quietly. But another dominant theory, especially in the early church, is that Joseph knew exactly that Mary was pregnant miraculously. This dominant theory would say that he knew when he took Mary in this betrothal that she had made a consecrated vow of virginity to the Lord. This wasn't something she sprung on him when they became betrothed. It was something that he knew when he was getting into this marriage with Mary. And so this theory would say he was hesitant to take her as his wife out of reverence, out of a reverence and an awe of what God was doing in her life, that God was the one bringing forth this child into the world. And so wherever it would be of why he was afraid, it's clear that his fear silenced him. We have no recorded words of Joseph in the whole Bible. He's silent. His fear in this instance silenced him. he decided to divorce Mary quietly. But in this dream that he has, in which the angel reveals God's plan, the angel strongly tells him, "Do not be afraid to take Mary into your home." Those are words that we can pray with. Do not be afraid to take Mary into your home. We know the story has a happy ending with Christmas coming in just a few days, that when Joseph takes Mary into his home, Jesus is born just some months later in Bethlehem. So we can ask, what's the takeaway lesson here? I think it's this, or at least one of the lessons, is that when Joseph took Mary into his home, Jesus came into his home as well. They were a package deal. You don't get the baby Jesus without Mary. He was there in her womb. She wasn't some unnecessary add-on. If you want the son, you take the mother. I think this is a very helpful takeaway for us in this scripture. And we can learn from Joseph's example and hear the angel's words directed to each of us too. Do not be afraid to take Mary into your homes. The angel said this to Joseph. He says it to each one of us. Take Mary into your homes. Do not be afraid. I know a lot of people ask the question, well, why do I need Mary? Can I go directly to Jesus? This seems like the more direct route, just to skip Mary and go to Jesus. But St. Louis de Montfort, he's a French saint who wrote beautifully about the Blessed Mother, says that we can go to Jesus more easily through Mary. She's the easier path. She always shows us to her son. And this is the route that Jesus came to us. Mary's precisely the way, the channel, the vehicle by which Jesus came to the world. And so St. Louis de Montfort says, we can go back to the Father by taking that same route that he took to come to us, going through Mary to get back to God. I'll give you an analogy of what this might look like. We're going to celebrate Christmas in a few days, right? There's going to be a lot of celebrating, a lot of festivities, rejoicing, and of course, there's going to be presents. We're going to exchange gifts with one another. If Jesus is the gift that we receive at Christmas, some can wrongly treat Mary as the wrapping paper. Okay, I unwrap this gift, crumble up the wrapping paper, and throw it away. Some can treat Mary like that, that she comes with the package, but she's really not that important. Once a year, she gets really popular. We put her on postage stamps. She's in our nativity scenes. We hear songs about Mary. But then after Christmas, we pack her up and put her back in the attic. This can be a false understanding of how we treat Mary. But I think she's more than this. She's not just the wrapping paper. She's not just something that comes along with the gift. She's actually the one who presents Jesus to us at Christmas. And she keeps presenting Jesus to us. She does this all throughout the scriptures. At the visitation, when she visits Elizabeth, she brings Jesus. She presents her son to Elizabeth and John the Baptist. When they go to the temple, and there's the presentation in the temple, Mary presents Jesus to Simeon and Anna. At the wedding of Cana, our Lord's first miracle, Mary presents Jesus to all the guests at the wedding. And even all the way to the end of his life, where he hangs upon the cross, Mary is there. Mary, along with a few other disciples, is there at the cross. And there, too, she is presenting her son to the world. So she keeps presenting Jesus to us, not just at Christmas, but all throughout the scriptures and even into the end of time. Mary presents Jesus to the world. She's not a disposable package or wrapping paper. I think she's more like a case. You know, when we get our gifts on Christmas, maybe some of you men out there will get a power tool. Maybe you'll get a new drill or a saw or something really exciting. And that power tool is going to come in a case. I bet you're not going to throw that case away and say, thanks for this great tool, throw away the case. I bet you're going to keep it. Mary is like the case, not like the wrapping paper. She's the case that protects the gift. She's the case that brings the gift. Even said another way, she's like a tabernacle. This has been an image given and to describe Mary throughout time. Even the Israelites, when they processed around the desert searching for the promised land, they carried a tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant. And within the Ark was the gift. It was Aaron's rod and the Ten Commandments and some of the manna. This was the presence of God among the people. But they carried it in the Ark, in the tabernacle. And Mary has been called the Ark, the new Ark that brings the gift and the presence of God. Nobody keeps an empty tabernacle. Nobody keeps an empty power tool case. We wouldn't genuflect to an empty tabernacle. Its purpose is to hold something and present something. And so Mary continues to present Jesus to us. He is the main gift, and she's the humble case that serves what's most important. So I have a couple practical ways of how we receive Mary into our homes, into our hearts, so that she would bring Jesus. The first one is that during Mass today, when you would come up to receive communion, to receive the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus, the main gift of the church, that you would say a Hail Mary in your heart, that you would welcome Mary into your heart as you receive communion, so that she would bring Jesus in an even more powerful and grace-filled way. And then when you get home, sometime this week, maybe it's today or leading up to Christmas or even after Christmas, you pray a rosary in your home with your family, that you welcome Mary into your home as Joseph did. I have a particular challenge for the husbands and fathers out there. Don't wait for your wives to bring this up. That will be a temptation. This is no slight on the women, but often they're the ones who bring up religious things. Honey, are we going to pray the rosary like Father Chad said at Mass? Men, how about we bring it up? Like St. Joseph, we take that responsibility as custodian of the Holy Family. That we bring Jesus and Mary into our homes so that we would consecrate him as Lord. So today, let us let Mary present Jesus to us and present us to Jesus. She doesn't take anything for herself. She offers it always to her son. So do not be afraid to take Mary into your home. She will always bring you to Jesus.